You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, one of the most understated facts about financial planning goals is that it is a very dynamic activity. And I can tell you now, for those of us who are in this space, we don't necessarily say that. And when I do go speak and all that, I never say those things. But it's a dynamic activity, whether you're in your 20s or 50s, personal financial planning around wealth building and risk cover are critical. So how much money is enough for you to be secure at different stages of your life? That's a very important question. I want to know this one. And I think that for me is a conversation starter there. How much, Jenny? Because I'm looking at myself, I'm like, yeah, my bank account doesn't agree with that. Yeah, it doesn't. So at each stage, we all have different savings needs. Yeah, so let's talk about the planning for the different life stages. And we are joined by Witness on the line. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Tapelo. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And how are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Fantastic. How was your day?
No, it was good. I was the kids are going back to school tomorrow, so I was doing some preparations for that in the background.
Yeah.
And I'm just hoping that they'll be able to actually sleep on time and wake up on time.
What's their sleeping time, out of curiosity?
So when they're at school, I try between 7:30 and 8.
Okay.
But over the holidays, it got messy.
It's free for all.
I think it got to about, at some point it was about 10 p.m. And sometimes so I'm hoping they'll be able to wake up tomorrow because the routine needs to
start again
for this term. Yeah.
Definitely. No, thank you so much for joining us, Minier. Really appreciate your time, as always. Talking about financial planning for different life stages, and I was just confessing that I was looking at myself like, something doesn't. We are not on the same WhatsApp group with my financial planning and the life stage where I am. Like, this conversation is a very important one, and it is timely, I do think we should have that. But for people who may not know you, we know you, and some of our listeners who are joining us from YouTube as well for the first time, Witness Ubani.
Yep, no, so like I said, getting kids ready for school, so follow two.
Yeah.
Seventh-day Adventist, and essentially I've been working in investment banking across all disciplines throughout my career. The past 10 years have really been investment banking for the construction of mines. And I've recently taken a role that involves essentially restructuring companies that are in distress. So that's essentially me in a nutshell.
Must be very interesting. Well, I suppose it cuts both ways, right? Interesting, but difficult at the same time, you know?
That's right.
Yeah, you're saving companies potential or something. You're like, no, there's nothing here. Let's just move on.
That's right.
Must be an interesting one. Financial planning. I think let's start there, so that we don't underestimate this particular point, that we all understand what financial planning is. So when we talk about financial planning, before we even get to it in the different life stages, what are we talking about when we're talking financial planning?
It's essentially looking at your cash flow statement. And there's a difference between a cash flow statement and an income statement. So it's essentially looking at your cash flow statement and managing the inflows and outflows such that you take care of your short, medium, and long-term goals.
Okay.
That's what financial planning is about.
Okay.
It evolves as you progress in life from an earnings capacity perspective and also from an age perspective, particularly.
Yeah. Okay, I love how you're using the income statement there as a reference to it, because then you immediately go back to revenue minus cost of sales and all this sort of stuff, and it kind of gives you the kind of thinking short, medium, and long term goals. So essentially, what it is that I'm calculating how much am I earning, how much am I going to earn in the next 1, 2, 3. Maybe even 10 to 20 years of my working life, and then I decide how am I going to then expense that in terms of, the things that I need to do and pay for, and I suppose take care of my life in whatsoever way. Does that go as far as including, I suppose, at some stage when you get married or you acquire, property, and then maybe a little kid or two there?
Yes, absolutely. But where it should start is one should realize that they're not going to, in a base case scenario where you don't, become a multi-millionaire or billionaire or whatever it is, your capacity to earn is determined by your age.
Okay.
So if you're an entrepreneur / hustler, for instance.
Yeah.
You can run harder in your 20s and your 30s than you can in your 40s and 50s and 60s and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so once you actually start making money, whether it's via a business or through gainful employment, you need to start thinking about your retirement because there will come a time. And, the age is between 60 and 65. Some people are taking it up to 70, and there are actually countries that don't have an actual age limit when it comes to retirement. But you need to start saving for your retirement as soon as you start working. And you'll see that structurally that is supported, because there are actually tax breaks that come with saving for your retirement, because anything can happen. You could get to 65 or 70 and you don't have, or you've actually, your employer has actually told you that, okay, now you are at retirement age, you need to leave. You might not have children that can support you. You might not have, a stream of income that you can continue to use. So as soon as you start earning money, you need to start looking at that retirement age. So a lot of organizations, a few organizations will actually give you, as soon as you join them, and I'm fortunate that I work for one of those, they will actually say you actually have a statutory minimum that you have to contribute to retirement funds per month. They don't renege on that responsibility. Then you'll find organizations that will actually just give you your money as it is, and then you have to plan for yourself. And for organizations to actually give you a statutory limit, it means there's thinking behind that, because it's very, very important. I remember when I was young and I just started working, I kept saying to myself, why am I paying so much?
And it's a lot, eh? Yeah.
That's right. Why am I paying so much to this retirement fund? But now as I grow older, I'm now looking at that
statement.
And I'm like, is it enough? Like you said.
Yeah.
But so I think that's the first and most important thing. And then you spoke about kids and houses and stuff.
Yes.
So, I mean, once you get married, you decide as a couple what you want to do in life. And there are couples that say, we'll have children. And then there are couples that say, no, we're not going to have children. We're just going to enjoy our lives. We're going to travel. We're going to eat out. We're going to basically this money is for us. So then that then determines what sort of place you you live at. It determines how much space you need in your household, and most importantly, it determines you know, what you actually want to do from a schooling perspective if you decide to have kids. So, you know, you could decide to go the government school route, you could decide to go the private school route. And the latter is actually quite a significant financial commitment. And therefore, you need to plan around that. And it's not only about the school fees, but it's about care, it's about home. And then I think, Tapir, every time we speak, from time to time, we'll talk about black tax.
Yeah.
So that's something that one always have to have at the back of their minds, to say that, you know, there are people that we need to look after, and we need to do it in a godly manner.
I once had a privilege, just on that, of speaking with some students at Starzim Invest, and they're all saying, no, it's actually not black tax. That word in itself is very wrong. So like, no, it's a colloquial term, right? And we don't really have to marry ourselves to it. But what it basically means is taking care of your, no, but we shouldn't call it black. Like, yeah, no, that's another. But the question that I was, the reason why I was asking my question is because there are people who could be saying, why do I even need to do this financial planning? Because I'm still young. I'm in my 20s, you know, or I'm in my, if you're fortunate enough to have finished school, early 20s, 21, you already have a job. And when you think about retirement, you're like, yo, 65. So how am I not supposed to enjoy myself now, you know, with the money that I have, and start thinking about retirement? I'm very far from retirement. So it's a question of why. I suppose when you are a lot older, it makes sense why you need to do financial planning and plan for your future, because you're closer to, like you said, the years when you cannot work and might become a little bit difficult to work, even though maybe you might want to work because of the situations where you find yourself in, right? And I think we see this quite a lot from people who still work in their retirement age. Some years might be doing it because they love it, but a majority find that they are working because, yeah, that bond is still there. That still needs to be paid, you know. The children still need to, you know, get money for school. And also someone still needs to work. Let's start going back now at the different life stages, I suppose. Why is it important to have this financial planning? Maybe teenagers are listening and like, do I need financial planning?
Yes, everyone needs financial planning. I think it's a message that is more difficult to deliver to teenagers, because unless it's one that is delivered by one that is instilled and not delivered by parents and guardians, you know, to say to say to your child, if you actually want this teddy bear, then you need to save whatever uncle comes and leaves here. If uncle comes around and he gives you 50 rand, auntie comes around, she gives you 100 rand, you put that money away. And when we go to the shops, mama and I are going to buy what we want to buy with our savings. And you will need to use your savings to buy whatever you want to buy. And you need to start that. It's not even at the teenage level that parents and guardians need to do this. It's at that point in time, as soon as a kid knows that there's something called money and someone comes and give them money, you say to them, okay, what are you going to do with this money? You're not just going to spend it willy-nilly. If you want something, you're going to use that money. I'm not giving you any money because my money is my money and I've got my own problems.
Yeah.
That translates into advising teens. Because then you tell them, okay, now you're a teenager, you want to go to a spring festival. You know, or you want to buy a car. Where's all the money that you've where's your allowance? We've been giving you an allowance. You've been getting money from such and such and so, you can now go and work at a restaurant or a coffee shop and save money for this, because you're actually not you actually don't have to pay for your living here because we are covering that. So it starts from a very young age, and children need to understand that, you know, you can't have a infinite source of money. Money doesn't work like that. You have to plan. You have to save it, and you have to have proper goals to achieve, and that way you plan your financial life. So I agree with you that, yes, teenagers need to think about it, but parents and guardians need to plant that seed at a very early stage.
Someone saying that I need those kind of aunties right now, the ones that you're referring to. We'll come in and give aunties. Them 50 rands. Yeah, and like, hey, tata, you know. So, yeah, it makes sense. And I love the analogy that you're using. I think it's at a basic level where young people and maybe the young ones can understand that, look, if we are going out to go and buy, you've got your money. Rich auntie gave you some of that money. So what are you going to do with that money? And already there, I think we are inculcating that idea of saving and planning for the future. Or maybe you could use things like, you know, month end is coming, we are going out, and each one of us will be spending from their savings, you know?
Yes.
So it then becomes right. something that they get used to, and they look forward to the end of the month, and they know, okay, I need to not gratify myself on the 15th with that little lollipop or whatever, but I should wait for the next month end when everyone is going out, and we can all spend their monies in that manner. I suppose it speaks to exactly that. Now, from teenagers, I suppose we then get into the young adults. These are, I suppose, people at varsity?
Yes, yes. That's right. So that's also a very difficult space.
You know,
in university, you need to look after accommodation. You need to look after your books. And also, church and entertainment. You know, you'll find yourself in a space where you need to start thinking smart. You're no longer a teenager trying to impress with you know, the glossiest books and everything. You can actually buy secondhand books. You know, and so you save money that way. You put that money away, and what you find is that most banks will actually give students essentially accounts that offer decent fees from a transactional cost perspective, decent interest rates, and also kind of encourage you to save. And the thing with saving is the compounding element of it. And you may think that as a student, saving 100 or 200 rand a month is nothing, but you know, by the time you get to work once you've graduated, and you increase that to, let's say, 1,000 rand per month, and then over to 5 or 10 or whatever, it just keeps compounding. You know, you get to a point where that interest is actually so much that you look back and you say, "Wow, I've actually done something right here." From 100 rand per, not even per month. Maybe, you know, if you're a student that doesn't have much, then 100 rand per semester, 200 rand per semester, just put it away and let the interest element of it work.
I suppose this is also the most difficult stage, eh? Because, like you said, there's books, there's this, there's that. But over and above that, there's Instagram, you know? And they may want to live the Instagram life and, you know, showcase that, you know, they've got this and that, or I've gone on a holiday and all that. And the pressure just keeps on piling. And I don't know if at that stage in their lives, you know, there's enough maturity to say, well, You know, I don't necessarily need to do that. We saw this with the Latwizi thing, you know, they all flocked Mall of Africa the other day, you know. So there's lots of pressure in that age group or in that stage. How do we even begin to inculcate in them? Because I suppose the teenagers, it's easy. I mean, you just say, look, at the end of the month, we are going out. If you don't have money, you're going to be left behind. And I don't think, because they're still, relatively speaking, still children, right? And so the need to be around their parents and enjoying with their parents, it's a very significant part of their lives. But these ones are at university and they're tasting independence. They now have to make decisions on their own. And so they are easily fall prey of the trends that are happening at this stage. Where do you even begin with these young ones?
So a lot of this responsibility lays upon us as parents. Because when you decide to become parents, you can actually start, there are a lot of products that you can start to invest in that takes care of that future obligation to educate your kids.
I see.
Whether it's, you know, in high school, university, or whatever. You can also set up structures that essentially give your children a, let me not call it a windfall, but a starting point at a certain age. As and when they actually mature. And these milestones are not, these milestones are deliberate because they come with maturity. You know, and as parents, you like, you know, I think when we spoke about teenagers earlier, I essentially said you need to start early. Earlier than that, as soon as your child knows that this is money, you need to tell them a lot about money. You need to tell your children about money from the start. And so essentially, you know, I mean, you talk about Instagram and that sort of thing, but it's tricky because there is university that is funded by parents, and then there's university that is funded by bursaries and scholarships, et cetera, et cetera. And that's, you probably can't control. But as a parent, you essentially can control where your child's money goes and also when they can get those wind flows in life. And like I said, you need to tell your children about money very, very early. Because if they start learning about it late, then yeah, it's too late.
It's already too late. Sure. What's the next stage from there?
So the next stage is essentially you start working, you start making some money, you start living in a flat. You buy your first GTI or whatever,
and
start.
We all want that.
That's a very difficult stage because all of a sudden, you know, you are actually earning a living, and if you don't have those basics, then you could, you know, you could actually spend all of it. You know. So at that point in time, you kind of need to have a budget. If your employer is not big on retirement savings, you need to think for yourself to say that at some point I'm going to retire and I need to put some of this money away for that retirement. You need to have you always need to have a safety net. There's nothing as important as firstly having assets and also liquidity. So that's the next stage, essentially, when you start working, and then you know, you go towards getting married. A lot of people will go into a lot of debt to have a wedding. That's not necessary, you know. But I'm speaking in hindsight.
With the benefit of hindsight.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll forgive you.
Yeah.
We'll forgive
you. That's right. You get married, and then you have kids, and then the obligations start becoming a bit clearer. It's care, it's home, it's school fees, it's the parents.
But let's talk about that, Witness, because I mean, at this stage, it sounds like everything starts compounding now, right? Because it's almost like you get into the so-called middle class now, you know, and you've got a stable job, maybe even a better paying job. Perhaps you've done your internship, but you're moving somewhere. But now, like you said, you start seeing a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Now you want to get married. That comes with a cost. After marriage, then you must, like you said, either move into a flat or whatever, buy a house or whatever the case might be. That's adding the costs already. Next thing, there's a child, you know. And there's five of you now in the house. You used to be two. Now there's five of you. So it compounds. And for me, I think the risk there is that it can get out of hand very quickly.
No, that's right. And so I think it's very important to know that you don't have to spend everything that you earn. It's not, you know, just because you're making that money doesn't mean that you have to spend all of it. So you need to actually budget in a way that says, this is what I need for food. This is what I need for where I've decided to live. This is what I need for transportation. And this is actually the number. And the rest is upside. And you need to be smart with that upside. You don't have to go and speculate. You know, you don't have to go and, you know, you're not going to become a trader overnight. You can find an asset manager that makes decent returns annually, and you could put some of your money with them. You can put some money away with the banks on a long-term basis and some interest. And, you know, and once you start thinking like that, and in addition to that, also saving for retirement, then, you know, you don't have to scramble from a financial planning perspective if something happens. But it's very important to know that, to note that you don't have to spend all that money you earn.
Yeah, I think that's a very important conversation for people who just got married and are dating, because I mean your wife expects this and that, or your husband expects this and that, you know. I've learned that with women, you know, red is not red. There's shades of red. And all of a sudden you have to buy different shades of reds of shoes, you know, things that maybe before you didn't have to. And I think that's what I was saying. It just kind of gets out of hand very quickly during that phase. And like you say, you need to remember that you don't have to. You don't have to. But I would say, I suppose, good luck to the husband and the wife's convincing the wife that you don't have to, you know. You don't have to buy that shoe, because there is another shoe, you know. I can imagine how difficult those conversations might be. But yeah, all the best to them. I hope they can be able to navigate that type of space to say you don't have to. And am I now moving to, I suppose, my 40s, looking at middle life crisis?
Yeah, so I think that's actually a time when one actually needs to start consolidating.
Yeah, I love that. Sure.
Yeah. You start to consolidate. You start to actually look at your... I remember, you know, the gentleman that sold me my home where I live now.
Yeah.
He actually... His children had moved out. He had retired. He and his wife had retired. Very lovely couple. And they moved to a little cottage in KZN.
Sure.
Somewhere in the Midlands, just to retire there. And they said that they actually don't need this anymore. So for me, you know, the 40s and 50s are really, like I said earlier, that's the time to really look at that retirement package and funding, and how it's looking whilst watching the expenses that are associated with your home and you know, the rest of your life, essentially at your peak, because I mean your peak is you know, it's, let's call it 35 to 40, 35 to 45 or whatever. And you know, once you've peaked and you've got your niche, you need to be very careful with how you spend your money and with where you put your money. I mean, you mentioned the phrase midlife crisis. You know, you find people buying Porsches or Ferraris that they don't need. You know, granted, those are actually investment cars that you always get value out of. But you get my point. You find someone, you know, just splashing because now you actually have all this money. If you look at the money you're making at that point in time versus the money you're making when you get into the job market, it's very different. And you need to manage it such that you're able to look after your kids, but also watch your retirement clock and make sure that when you get there, if you decide to, let's say, remain in the home that you've decided to have with your family, you're able to pay for that home. But if you decide that you're actually going to downsize with your wife and move somewhere else, then there needs to be a plan around that.
It sounds very gloomy though, eh? I mean, even our 40s, we should start already packing. Sounds like...
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's not just that. It's also creating a solid foundation for your children if you do decide to have children. So it's work, and it requires a lot of thought and reflection.
Sure. So there you go, 40s to 50s, you should start consolidating. It's almost like things are going south now, right? So, if you haven't started that route, you have a lot of catching up to do, because from 40, it's looking very bad, eh? Look at me, 40-year-olds are like, yeah, when? What are you guys saying about us?
No one is going to hire you as an intern.
Exactly. I was actually about to say, you know, at 40s, you should be an executive, you know?
Yes,
you don't have to do the running around. You just delegate, you know, because life is going south already from there. Yeah, no, that's someone is saying the beginning of the end.
The dark side.
The dark side of life. Upelile ngathi.
Upelile ke manje. And the thing is, you'll be making so much more than you were when you started. And you can easily you can easily throw it away if you're not careful.
Yeah, I was actually speaking to someone earlier on today, I mean, just in preparation for the show, you know, someone was saying, you know, in your 20s, that's the time you should be studying very hard, you know. If you need to get your doctorate, study very, because after 30, it just becomes a whole lot more difficult. There's you know, responsibilities, there's this and that, there's the wife, there's the husband, there's kids, there's this time to say you're going to grapple with a very hard 4-year PhD after 30 to your 40s is something that's going to be very difficult. And like we're saying, you know, it the more you get educated in your younger years, the more you're earning potential than when you get to your 30s and your 40s, you know. You can sit back and, you know, look back and say, yes, my 10 years of studying has culminated into this. But at that stage, your earning potential has increased. You've got a bit of experience in this field. You're more like a niche, like you've said, that you've carved out for yourself. And this direction at that stage. And as things go south, you don't want to be sitting in a computer for 12 hours. Because next thing, I'm a dolo. Umqolo, you know, all these things. And you've got a report that's due tomorrow. Amadola are starting to become a problem. So you need to make sure that you, you know, you set yourself up properly at that time. 40s, 50s, you said you're consolidating. And then I suppose then you've got that little runway to 60 where you now have to go towards retirement. What does that look like?
Yeah, so that's... you know, that's essentially when you start taking a greater interest in that quarterly statement. I remember I was very worried when COVID hit. So when my 31 March 2020 statement came, I was actually quite impressed, and this is why I spoke about asset managers earlier, because. That's what they do every day. They manage that risk for you, you know, because 31 March 2020, I was like, okay, that's not as bad as I thought.
Yeah.
But if it was, if I was trying to do it myself and trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents, it could have been much worse because I would probably have lost much more than what those guys did. So that's when you are now really watching that statement, because whatever... you get once you're done earning is what you're going to live on. I mean, unless, like I said earlier, you become an entrepreneur, you're multimillionaire, multi-billionaire, whatever. But it's about deciding what type of retirement you want to have. You know, some people go to a retirement village, they'll live in a one-bedroom apartment with their wife, or they'll decide to stay in their family home, and that post-retirement balance needs to make sense for whatever lifestyle you decide to take. Some people decide to go on cruise ships.
Yeah, in a yacht.
In a yacht.
Yeah, that's definitely where we should be. That much is where we're going. I can tell you that.
Well, perhaps not a yacht, but a lot of retired Europeans, for instance, they'll just start cruising around the world in those hotel looking. Cruise ships, and that's the sort of quality lifestyle they'll live. And if that's what you want, then you need to make sure that you have enough for that.
Yeah,
and that might mean moving out of your family home, going back to a lockup and go apartment, and being able to spend a couple of months, a few months at sea with. With your wife and just enjoy.
Hey, and the dolphins and you know.
Yes, exactly.
You kind of play with them. And I think at that stage, I mean, looking at that statement from your investment company, must be very nice sitting in there, like you said, in a yacht somewhere or in a hotel somewhere. Like, you know, babe, this statement, the other day you made just $4 million, you know. You're sitting at 3.5. I mean, I think it makes the relations to be much more nicer as well, as opposed to, hey, sipatala kanjani in that age of 60. No, we don't want to be talking about that. You end up saying, what's our appreciation of our assets type of a thing, you know? Or where do you even go for charity, you know, and start donating to charity and kind of living that, I suppose, a less stressful life, a life about meaning impact and kind of changing people's lives. And that's what you want to be living at that particular age. How do we bring this home? What would be our final message in this 1 minute left to our listeners on this very important topic? I think I love how we unpacked it. It's really practical, pragmatic, if you might like to say. And I do think that as light as it was, it's also very impactful because we can find ourselves. I mean, I was sitting and thinking to myself, we started this particular segment thinking this is going to be a heavy topic, but look at how it turned out, and it turned out quite beautifully. How do you bring this home?
Yeah, no, I think it's important to look at it at stages. I think we've discussed that at length.
Yeah.
But I think as Adventists, it needs to start in the home. Mm. And if you have the opportunity to raise children, as soon as they see that first 10 rands, you need to start telling them more about it. And that's where it needs to to start. I mean, yeah. You spoke about, you know, trying to make money at 65. I'm at the Safuni and But you know, and we've spoken about the stages, but it should always start in the home, so that by the time your teenager faces the world, they actually understand that they don't need to get the latest GTI. They could probably do with their granddad's old Polo, because it's actually just a means of transport.
That's the most important thing.
The money is much more important, because you've taught that child about the importance of money from a very young age.
Sure. Beautiful. Once again, really appreciate your insights and just how beautifully you put this through. We shall connect again next time.
Thanks so much, Tatala.
Thank you so much. That was, of course, Mr. Witness Camara. They're talking to us this evening about this very important topic of financial planning for the future at different life stages.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.